Joining me on the February edition of Our Town are two members of the founding board of the Sisal Valley Charter School. Kay King and Eric Snedden are with me today. Good day to both of you.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. And just let's get started here. Recently, there was a school board meeting where they had their lawyer, Rich Conley, come in there. And he spoke to the school board. And kind of when I was listening to the meeting, it sounded like, you know, he thought he and the school board were the only folks that were at the meeting at that time. Kind of sounded like that. But one of the things he kept repeating was my understanding. Now, it's my understanding that you both felt that he was not given all the proper information going into this. Tell me a little bit about what you think the misinformation was that he was referring to.
Well, some of the things that he spoke on the founding board's behalf quite a bit, which we found completely inappropriate, especially since we'd never spoke with him. But he continually told the board that we were a religious curriculum, which we aren't. It is a public charter school, and by law, you cannot have a religious curriculum. And we've never wanted to be a religious school. There's a Christian school here in town, if that's what families are looking for. That's an option for them. That is not what we've ever been looking to provide. He also made statements that we weren't interested in offering special education, which has most certainly never been the situation. In fact, the curriculum that our founding board is looking to use really emphasizes that special education happen within the classroom, that students aren't moved into a separate classroom or anything along those lines. And they've seen great successes and great forward mobility on those students who are allowed to stay with their peers. The other thing that we were really disheartened to hear is that he made assumptions that we were telling the board one thing but then actually doing something else. And our board has never done anything behind the scenes or behind anybody's back. It is important for this school to open for the community, but it's also important for this community, for this school to open by doing the right thing in public. We do not want this school to open on a technicality. We want this school to open because the families in this community are asking for it.
So what happened there with the difference between, you know, when changing the introduction or the contract letter and then the website thing? Was that just a timing thing? Was that just somebody forgot something? Was it not accurate? What was the situation with it?
There was never a change. Our website launched all the way back when we were just looking to see if a charter school was viable in Florence. So the information on the website has never changed. Initially, what had happened is we were looking at different curriculums and looking to different schools for inspiration. We were able to find the curriculum through Hillsdale College. So early time of doing our research, we had reached out to them, and there's a process that that you go through that communities across the country are looking to participate in. And early on, they were able to say, okay, you're not a fly-by-night group. You actually want to see a school open. And so they said, okay, well, then we will make our curriculum and training available to you. So that letter of intent was all the way back in the initial stages. It was never not on our website. As we moved through the process, when we noticed that it was there, we did reach out to the school district and we asked for some clarification. We knew that we didn't want to just make something disappear from our website because that looks like we're trying to be sneaky or hide something.
Right.
Unfortunately, the district has been very slow to respond to any of our requests or anything like that. And so we just felt it was wrong to just make something disappear from a website.
When we discovered it.
Yeah.
Now, what made Hillsdale College more palatable for your curriculum than, say, another one? I mean, I know there are some college Christian colleges out there that do have, you know, Christ-based curriculum out there. I can think of a Becca with Bob Jones, where I went to school, you know, has that. They're more, you know, cemented in their daily stories and math and literature and all that stuff. What made Hillsdale more palatable as far as what they offered?
They offer different types of curriculum. They offer curriculum for Christian schools, and then they offer curriculum that's public that is not Christian-based. And they have an excellent program that took them 10 years to put together. And they use their teacher's college within Hillsdale to put the program together, and they use the classical education method of teaching. And that's what really interested us. Plus, their marketing and their materials were top-notch. Everything was quality.
And the training, you know, it's the main thing is the fact that Hillsdale is a private school doesn't mean anything to us. The fact that they are a Christian school doesn't mean anything to us. The fact that they're in Michigan doesn't mean anything to us. We went after the curriculum. That's what we wanted. We knew we wanted to do a classical curriculum. The benefit that we saw through Hillsdale was they have – the components of the curriculum are assembled from other sources. They've just been able to put them into a package. So our head of school won't have to go out and find a classical math curriculum that they like. They won't have to go out and find social studies or science or any of those things. It's all together.
One-stop shop.
One-stop. Yeah. The genius in this curriculum is it is designed for all 50 states, and it meets all the standards for all 50 states. And one of the ways that they do it is they leave holes in the curriculum, because what New York requires their schools to have, Oregon doesn't. And so there are holes throughout it where you can plug in things that the state that is that you're using it in can use. So there are certain things that Oregon requires that other states don't. So those holes are in that place for it can, so it can just drop in. And that's the biggest benefit of it. The other thing that we found was they had the best way of providing training. So we repeatedly confirmed with the school district that can we use the curriculum? Can we use the training? And they repeatedly said, yes, you can. In fact, we had four different meetings with the superintendent and with school board members, and we clarified every single one of those times. We just want the curriculum. We just want the training. Can we use them together? And it was always yes.
Well, even in the meeting the other night, the answer was yes. It was just something about the wording and the term affiliation. They didn't like that. So why not just state it plainly and simply, you know?
We have all along. Yeah. The problem is that they are trying to use the term affiliate as in a control. And it's been very clear that we're an autonomous founding
board. Even so, I mean, even if you just forget about the word affiliate – and just say, we're getting our curriculum, we're getting our non-curriculum, our non-sectarian, you know, non-political curriculum from Hillsdale College, period. Why not just?
Oh, and we've repeatedly said that. Yeah. And that's where I think we're concerned and also perplexed as why we, every time we seem to move closer to the finish line, this comes up and pushes us back. But we've confirmed it so many times.
Because it seems to me like from listening to the meeting there, you have the support of the majority of the board.
We do.
Yeah.
And in my personal opinion, I think the school board was probably as shocked as we were by the presentation done by their attorney. And what's interesting to me is you mentioned that he had misinformation. I don't believe –
Well, I mean, you all said he
yes,
was misinformed
we did.
By that. I mean,
so where did he get that information? It didn't come from school board members. So it had to have come from administration.
And it certainly didn't come from us, because he had no problem speaking for us. Right. But however, he's never had a conversation with us.
And he really painted us in a really unattractive way when he talked about us baiting and switching. We're not even sure what he meant. But if you were in the audience and you knew nothing about it, you would think, whoa, what are they hiding? What are they doing? We're hiding nothing.
So, I understood what he meant by that, but I don't think he had any proof of intent of anything, you know, like that. I think it was just a matter of, he said, well, I was told you did one thing, and then I was told there was something else, rather than maybe doing his own research on
right.
that.
Right, and that is the job of an attorney. And also, if they misspeak, then they're responsible for what they say to a third party. So whether his information was correct or he was speaking on the information that was already given to him, legally he's responsible for his words. And especially when they're spoken to a third party, and that room was full of third party attendees. So
now another question, and I'm sure this comes down to probably cost, but instead of because I think this is the overall view of that some people have is that instead of having your own attorney for your school, you used wording for the attorney from Hillsdale College, which I don't think set well with some people. I might be wrong on that, but
so we don't have an attorney. We haven't gotten to that point yet. Mm-hmm. We kind of been stuck at negotiations because we keep getting delayed. So we're not quite to that point yet. However, Hillsdale did. We reached out to Hillsdale and said we need something that shows that we're not affiliated. Hillsdale attorney is not our attorney. Hillsdale's attorney is Hillsdale's attorney, and so they were able to pull that information through. They looked at Oregon statutes, they looked at the wording, and they were able to supply where they felt that the school district is in compliance. And because we are not affiliated, and that letter pointed out that there is no affiliation. In fact, one of the things I was surprised to find out is Idaho has a similar rule. However, they have. In Idaho, they have multiple schools. They have two that are in operation and a couple that are getting ready to start. They're completely their own schools. They're autonomous, but they're utilizing that curriculum, and they're utilizing it in a state that has a similar law to Oregon.
And the other thing is, who better to defend the curriculum than the people that put it together? And so they had the most understanding about the fact that there are types of curriculum from Hillsdale.
Well, right. But there's also, I mean, and at some point you guys may decide that it's time to bring your own attorney in there to fight specifically for you, you know, rather than the liaison between the other. Because, you know, I look at it and you have a lot to gain and a lot to lose, you know, if this does or doesn't go through. And a lot of time and effort's been put into it by you.
Oh,
you know,
boy.
To get this started. Real quickly, I read this to you before we went on the air, but I just want to – this came from Emily Davis. She is the media and public relations person with Hillsdale College, and I'll just read a couple of sentences here. She says, by law, charter schools are public schools and can have no religious affiliation. Hillsdale College content-rich K-12 curriculum is not religious or Christian, and as a result, it is used in public charter schools across the nation. And ideals like Buddhism, Islam, Christianity, and other religions are described within academic courses for cultural literacy in the context of literature, history, or related fields, like any school would do.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. The other thing is, and I think it's important to mention, they were, you know, how expensive curriculum is. If we had used McGraw-Hill, for instance, we would be allowed to have their somebody that would help us if we had issues with a certain teaching of a certain style of the curriculum we didn't understand. They would give us support. Well, Hillsdale would give us the curriculum because they believe so much in it, and they had chosen us because they felt like Florence was we do things great here. You know, our hospital, they were so impressed. They came to look, and they loved our school, and they said, we believe that our curriculum could be used by you for free, plus helping you to implement your curriculum. McGraw-Hill would do that, but at a huge cost. And this is a big deal when you're trying to start a school. Our funding's pretty small to start. So.
And it's important to understand that the biggest influx of people who are looking at our school, they are either homeschooling right now, either because they feel that's the best opportunity for their kid, not because there are some families that are homeschool families, and that's what they want to do regardless of what educational opportunities are in town. There are some families that are they feel are homeschooled by necessity. I've become one of those families. And then there are families that after the pandemic just never went back to the school district. They either are doing online education or have found a charter school that works within the state that does remotely, that everything comes online, but would rather have their kids in a building. So a majority of the families that have hit that intent to enroll button on our website are mostly student or families that are homeschooling at the moment, or they are families who may have chosen to put their kid at a private school, and they're willing to do it and they're willing to pay for it, but they would much rather have another alternative that's not going to cost them money. So that's a majority of the 67 plus families that have clicked that button that represent over 100 students. They're not students necessarily that are coming from the district. There's a number of families who clicked that button that they're kids aren't even school age yet. They might be 4 or 5, and they just know that whatever they do, they are not looking for traditional public education. So I know that there are outside forces that have really scared staff and really scared teachers about job losses and all that kind of stuff, and our information isn't showing that. It actually doesn't show that happens across the state when charter schools open, and it actually shows across the country that's not what happens when charter schools open. Typically, every year, a school district has a certain rate of retirees, whether that be instructional staff, whether that be support staff, whether that be bus drivers, whether that be cafeteria workers. Every year, school districts have staff that retires. Most of the time when a charter school opens, a public school just looks and says, how many retirees did we have? We already know what our enrollment is. do we just not need to post a position for an aide or a classroom teacher? It's not that anybody's fired. It's not that anybody's sent packing. It's mainly that sometimes positions come open that just end up not being filled. And there's efficiencies that are there. And I think it's important for the public to understand you're not changing the funding to the district. You're just changing the building that the student is walking into. The only time the funding changes is if you have a family that's homeschooling where the district gets nothing. When they show up to our school, then the district ends up with those funds. And so the funds pass through the district and then pass in through us. But if you're a homeschool family right now, the money that's allocated to your student stays in Salem. The district loses out regardless. But if you're a homeschool family right now and you go to Whitmore Academy, then all of a sudden, then the district receives those funds. The district keeps a portion of it, and then they send the rest on to us. And we are educating students on far less than what public schools are doing. And studies show that we do it more efficiently. And our on average, charter school students that leave charter school, most charter schools tend to end at eighth grade because there's not always a lot of infrastructure for high school. Those eighth grade students are usually going in at a junior level when they leave charter school.
High school.
Yeah, and high school.
So let me ask you, because if I'm thinking, and I'm sure somebody else is thinking, what does a classical education offer that the public school does not offer?
Sure. So classical education is the style in which it's taught. It is the historical way of teaching. One of the things that we see with modern education is modern education curriculum is created by for-profit companies who are always coming up with gimmicks to sell product. So the curriculum is constantly changing. The style of teaching is constantly changing, whereas a classical education is a tried and true method. It is – I believe the term is spiral. It's a spiral technique where things are introduced and they are reintroduced throughout the entire stretch of the curriculum. And in your day, when you're being taught math – what you're learning in math is going to correlate with what you're going to learn in science then the next week. So a science teacher isn't having to teach math problems so they can do something, a lab or anything like that in their class. That's all taught together. So it's required that all the teachers are using the same curriculum and all working together. Typically in public education, you will have the math department is sent to find a curriculum they like. The science department is sent to find a curriculum they like. Rarely are they from the same company and rarely do they actually work together. With classical curriculum from K through 8 for us, they're all designed to work together early on. We use the Trivium method where every step of learning is based on where that child is at the time. The other major thing that we love about classical education is foreign language is introduced when that portion of your brain is the most malleable. So our students will get foreign language in elementary school so that when they get to middle school, they're ready for Latin. I know that people love to say that Latin is dead, but if you want anything in technology, if you have an understanding of Latin, that changes how you code. That makes you extremely marketable in your future. So having that Latin helps you also learn other foreign languages. So if you go off to study abroad, maybe you learn Spanish at Whitmore Academy, but then you find yourself in Spain, but then you want to go over to Italy. Usually students that have an understanding in Latin, they are quicker to pick up any other foreign languages if they choose to study them. It helps you with math. Latin helps your understanding with math. So it's unfortunate that Latin has disappeared. I mean, in European countries, they still teach Latin, and that's one of the reasons why.
Well, and one of the things that you know, everybody kind of jokes about is, you know, you have people from other countries that come over here. They'll speak five languages, and we speak one, and sometimes not very well. Is that?
So that's the biggest thing is when things are introduced, how they're taught. Charter schools by nature allow more flexibility. One of the charter schools that we visited, it was really interesting. The principal, who was also the head of school for that school, had pointed out that they had some staff that had worked in other states in public school. But they really wanted the control in their classroom and they wanted the control with their teaching partners. And he said, with this curriculum, I'm allowed to say, what do your students need? And one teacher said one day, she goes, I just have kids with a lot of energy. If I had one more 10-minute recess, it would change the dynamic in my classroom. And he was able to say, well, then do it. If that's what your class needs to succeed, as long as you guys are doing what you guys need to do, as long as you guys are getting the things done that you need to get done, then take that extra. So she was the only first grade class that had an extra recess time. But that's what it took for that kid to be – those kids to be successful. In a charter school, you're able that flexibility more. Mm-hmm. Where in public education, unfortunately, there's just too much of the bureaucracy that is laid over everything that keeps teachers from being able to make those types of calls in the classroom.
Right. So it's like if a student's at Sayuslaw, then he goes to Mapleton, then he goes to Mohawk or goes somewhere else, there's an expectation that everything's got to be the same so that they don't fall behind or aren't too far ahead sometimes even then.
And one of the things that I think is amazing because I'm visiting with teachers at other charter schools and school leaders at other charter schools is charter schools kind of get painted as being anti-behavioral students. And what a lot of teachers and a lot of school leaders have said is they aren't afraid of students that have behavioral issues because they come to a charter school with a good curriculum, with a solid culture where rules are in place. And those behavior kids, they don't stop being behavior kids overnight. But throughout the process, they are no longer having behavior issues because they have clear rules, clear expectations. When they make the right choices, it's celebrated. But in a charter school, a student that might have behavior issues, they're quicker to be identified and they're quicker to get help. So that it's not so much of a pass along that happens in modern education. I'm not saying that that's what happens at Sayuslaw. That just tends to be what happens with modern education. That type of thing is not identified nearly as quickly or the resources aren't nearly as available. So not only do we want to make sure that the public understands that we want to have students with special needs in our classrooms, but we are also happy to take students that other people may say are problem childs or have behavioral issues. We're here to teach kids, and it does not matter where they're from and what their home life is or anything along those lines. We are happy to teach your student.
And because we're a public school, which I think might, you know, we keep rushing over that, but a public school is open to everyone, and that is our intent. There's no cost to anybody to attend. So I think it's not like we're trying to be exclusive. We're offering a different method of educating. We have a lot of professionals in town. I won't name names, but I do know several that left when it got time for their kids to be in school or go to the next level of school because they did not feel that it was the method that they wanted or as deep of an education as they wanted for their kids. We lost some doctors because of it. When people found out that we have the potential of opening a charter school, I think I'm going to say because we're going to open a new charter school, I had a physical therapist tell a friend of mine the other day, she said, what? There's going to be a charter school? Maybe we won't have to leave when whatever their child's name is reaches school age. They are just looking for a higher quality, deeper program that provides a product at the end where our kids will succeed. That's all we want. It's all about the kids. And it's nothing personal.
We have we just have support staff and everywhere, whether it's retail, whether it's in a professional position, whether it be at a financial institution or medical or anything, everybody. You know, we have some of our major employers in town have locations in other parts of the state. It is not uncommon. We've heard from many employers that it is not uncommon that they are losing really good workers. The people aren't leaving the company. They're just transferring within the company to another community where there's more choice. So what's important here to understand is some families are looking for something different. We see a situation where it's quite possible that a family may choose to have one of their students with us and one of their students at the public district just because of what their needs may be or the style that they have to learn. I could see in my family growing up, I could see where my sister would have been done amazing in our curriculum, where I may have struggled a little bit, but that was because I was lazy. But it was just one of those things where we know that just because we have one student doesn't mean that the district isn't going to have the other. And that's why it's important for us to be working together. We don't look at us as adversaries in education. We look at each other as partners in education, getting the community what they need so we can attract the professionals to fill the positions that are constantly empty and to keep the people from leaving to find something else.
What do you see as the roadblocks from this point forward? I have the most recent letter here that was drafted that was sent out to you regarding pretty much the same verbiage, you know, about having to specify the non-affiliation part. What do you see as the roadblocks? And obviously you want to get this done, what, for the fall?
No, not this fall.
2025.
Yeah, 25-26 school year.
But to hire our head of schools, it needs to happen right now as soon as we can because it will take that person a year to get everything ready to open, hiring of teachers, setting up the building, all those things. And the best the hiring window starts right now. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing that is so critical. And then for us, we can't step forward. We can't start looking for our building. We can't make any offers on the building. We can't do any fundraising.
Unless you have a contract.
Yep. Exactly. And we have buildings identified, but we're kind of in a holding pattern to moving forward, you know, until
it's always right.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. That was thought about. Yeah.
So I think our main thing is communication with the district.
And the community.
So we have made it very clear that the affiliation is not there and it never has been there. The district is doing their job to make sure that they're crossing their T's and dotting their I's. But it is important for the board to always remember that it is key to be able to have solid communication back and forth. So we promptly respond to questions they have. We need them to pay us the same courtesy, because what happens is things get delayed because we will send a response, but then we won't get something back in a timely manner, which then causes a lot of the delays. And so that's why we feel like we were expecting to go in to talk about contract negotiations, and that's where we were surprised and the board was surprised when the attorney had different things to say. So
I'm speaking with Kay King and Eric Sneddon of Cayuga Valley Charter Schools, and we'll continue this conversation in just a moment on the February edition of Our Town.